Sexual orientation describes who you are attracted to, may fall in love with, and may have a sexual relationship with.
They said, well, why don't you look it up in the Urban Dictionary? And I did, and I was quite shocked at what I found. I'm not going to even say what it means, but if you want to know what it means...
After some discussion and counseling, you may be referred to an endocrinologist. Endocrinologists specialize in hormones, and they are the most likely to prescribe puberty blockers for someone who wants them. Puberty blockers are medications that will stop your body from changing.
It's coming in so many different directions, this Disney movie Onward.
This is the Dean Show.
And on the Dean Show, we have Brenda Lipsack. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Eddie.
It's nice to have you back on the program. We had you on some time ago, and for those people that didn't get a chance to watch that episode, really strongly encourage them to go back and watch that episode that we did. You're a school teacher of 30 years. Can you fill us in a little bit about what you do and who you are for those who didn't get acquainted with the first time that we met?
Yes, thank you for having me on. And I want to be culturally sensitive. I'm not Muslim. However, I am a person of faith, a God-fearing person who loves children and loves people, and so I wanted to be culturally sensitive and wear a scarf, so I'm not offensive to anybody in the audience. But thank you again for having us on. I've been a school board member in Orange County for 4 years, so I've been on the inside. I've been a teachers union member for over 25 years, and I've been a school teacher in the state of Nevada and mostly in the state of California. I've taught pretty much all the grades. I've taught high school and middle school English, history, but now I'm a PE teacher for kids, disabled kids in Orange County.
Now, you've been kind of giving us the inside scoop of what's going on, some things that are kind of just under the table or overtly kind of pushed into the curriculum, and many parents, they're just not aware of this. You've kind of been bringing us up to speed. Tell us now, last time when we talked, about there was like a deliberate attack on Muslim children. Can you bring us up to speed on what we were talking about then? And we'll go on with this week's up-to-date information that you're bringing us.
Absolutely. Yes, just as I mentioned before, and I do hope people will watch the last video because I'm going to overlap a little bit, but it'll help if they watch it. Basically, you know, the LGBTQ, that's really coming into a lot of the subjects. It's not just coming in through sex education now. It's coming in through ethnic studies. It's coming in through social emotional learning, under identities, under empathy, inclusion, diversity, anti-bullying, creating welcoming schools. It's coming under all those many umbrellas, and we're seeing it more and more pushed in through the teachers union, through legislature, through laws and bills and policies for school districts. So there's a particular agency called Advocates for Youth. They actually wrote the national sex ed standards that a lot of school districts and state departments are using. And in looking over their 2020 revised national sex ed standards and also their ethnic studies and things, I'm seeing, yes, a lot more emphasis towards Muslim youth. And I wanted to show you some of those things as examples, just so Muslim parents can be aware, they can talk to their kids about it. And I'm hoping not to overwhelm parents, because I know this can be overwhelming, but I'm hoping to also empower. And I have a website now. When before I was on your show, I didn't have a website. I only had Facebook, and Facebook is now being highly censored. So I'm trying to go more through my website now to provide materials, you know, that people can look at and documents.
From the last program we did, what kind of response did you get from the community?
Oh, you know, I read a lot of those comments under the video, and I did get a lot of emails and a lot of Facebook friend requests, and absolutely, you know, encouraging for one to me, because it's not easy to speak out about these things. I'm grateful to still have a job. But I also received some insight, and I have been in contact with some people from other countries and learning from them. So I think the more that we can share information and help one another for the sake of our children, and to be honest, for the sake of humanity, because as I share some things with you, it's very alarming on some of the things that are going on. But yeah, there was one person actually that shared with me when he saw some of the samples that we shared on our last show with the videos and the books. He said, you know, besides targeting Muslims, it looks like they're targeting people of color, African-Americans, because, and you know, it was like a light bulb went on for me. And I looked and I'm like, yeah, you're right. And so I actually reached out to some African-American ministers and lawyers in Los Angeles, and I'm working with them now. And they're starting to be a voice in speaking out about this as well.
Very interesting. So let's go through, you have a presentation, is this, and you have some pictures here. It starts off with, I'm Muslim and I might not be straight. And then it says a resource for this Alphabet Movement and then the Muslim Youth. What is this about?
Alphabet Movement, you're funny. okay, so this is actually one of the resource toolkits from Advocates for Youth. Advocates for Youth puts out an online, highly recommended through at least the California Department of Education. I know it's not just California, though. I know Michigan. There's different states that are using Advocates for Youth, the three R's. And San Diego Unified, I know, is definitely using this curriculum. But they reach out to kids on many virtual platforms to try to create a safe, inclusive environment. And they have these quote-unquote trusted adults that they can talk to. And I just want parents to be aware of this because a lot of these things are going on online. And so parents don't know who their kids are talking to. They have hashtag Amaze, Ask Amaze. They can reach out to people, these anonymous people on Instagram, text messaging, and they call them trusted adults that are vetted through Advocates for Youth. But this is the kind of things that they're telling kids, and it's not in a way that's going to build a relationship with their parents. In fact, it will, I believe, cause dissension between parents and kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you like for us to go through? Should I go through each one of these slides that you have?
That would be great. We can start from the first one. So this one, okay. I'm Muslim and I might not be straight, a resource for LGBTQ plus Muslim youth. I want you to see carefully that plus, because that plus is open-ended. And they're changing definitions. So now the Q means queer or questioning, and queer. Now, according to the National Sex Ed Standards of 2020 put out by Advocates for Youth, and it means queer is an umbrella term. Anytime they use the word umbrella, that means open-ended, ever-expanding, ever-evolving, ever-changing. So that could mean anything, and I've tried to call them out on that by saying, okay, that's even saying that you're not explicitly stating that pedophilia is an exception. So it's quite interesting. So that's one of their, you could go to the next one. Now hashtag Muslim, and the reason they're using this as their advocacy program is, and means that it's a word called intersectionality, meaning that you're Muslim and what other identities are you, whether it be queer, gay, it could be anything, any type of sexual orientation, polyamory, there's many, asexual. And they're saying you don't have to give up your faith identity in order to be a different gender that's nonconforming or a different sexual orientation that's nonconforming. Here's another example. From the toolkit, it says, as a 20-year-old queer non-binary, you're going to have to help me with some of these words. Hijabi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hijabi, Muslim.
You want
yeah.
to read that?
Yeah. So it says, as a 20-year-old queer non-binary hijabi Muslim. Hijabi Muslim is simply one who observes like the that modest dress code. Oh. That Muslim, yeah. This is for anyone who's tuning in and just maybe who's a Christian, I mean, this is like kind of imitating Mary, the mother of Jesus. Have you ever seen her on Google? Like not those pictures that they have representing of her. It's not actually her, but you always see her in hijab. So that's what it is, hijab. My parents often say there aren't any LGBTQ, the letters, people in our community. My mosque often says that you cannot be LGBT and a Muslim. The government often says that me and my family are not welcome in this country in the first place. What I've come to understand is that Muslims have existed since the beginning of Islam. That queer Muslims have existed since the beginning of Islam. We existed and Allah made us just this way. So this is in your slide here.
Yes. So I think that picture, I can't read it. It's my queer is my pumpkin.
Yeah, image, description. I bear Muslim sits in a peaceful position as words. My queerness is my own and I may share it whoever I desire, circulated around the head.
So, I mean, the way I see this is because before I was a teacher, I was...
So this are this is this where do kids see this? Is this something that now this is in a curriculum or this is being taught in the school or these kind of quotes are being shared? How does this fit into the education system?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so what they do is they have the baseline curriculum, and I'll show you some of those videos from the baseline curriculum today, starting even in elementary school, but then they have resources that, and they tell kids, if you have more questions, here's the resources, here's the links. Now, what kids don't have more questions about sexuality, especially teenagers? So they will have these links specifically for Muslims, and that if you have more questions for Muslims, then you can reach out to a trusted adult to ask your questions. And all of these trusted adults have been trained to say that, you know, sexual identities and gender is unlimited, and whatever, you know, your gender is something that you can discover, explore. It is your unique identity that no one can take from you. And so they encourage them to explore that identity. And if they say, if the child says, my parents aren't affirming of this, they don't agree with this, then they kind of let them know, well, then don't tell their parents because we want to keep you safe. And they make it out like your parents, if they don't affirm these ideologies, are harmful.
This one, I don't even feel comfortable putting it really on the screen. It's there just real quick, but you have, yeah. I mean, this is like really from an Islamic perspective, this is very inappropriate. Even if it's like a husband and wife, I mean, this is something that you do, you know, behind the scenes, you know, it's something special. It's not, so you have, so you have this kind of making out here, like almost French kissing or something, whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. What's going on with that? Well, and what's going on? Why are they doing that? They're showing this to the young ones, the young minds.
Okay, well, this is, that picture that you saw, they have an Instagram for.
And it's not even like something just like a cute little like peck or something. This is like really like almost like pornographic, just like we're into, like you're into it. Just put it out there. You know, it's very distasteful.
It's on the that's on the Muslim and Instagram. So one of the kids probably put that up as their.
Yeah, just from our perspective, even if you had a boy and a girl, you know, doing this kind of making out, I mean, this is something that's just inappropriate all around. You know, it's just I'm just getting.
Wow, so that's really mild compared to a lot of other things that are in the sex education, pretty much.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, mm-hmm. So this is something that one of the kids posted on the support Instagram that Advocates for Youth puts out. And you know it's Advocates for Youth because they have the little emblem in the corner and the Muslim and hashtag. So it says, in solidarity with Black and brown, young, queer, and trans Muslim people who have to fight against multiple systems of oppression. So as they're teaching kids now through ethnic studies, critical race theory, some of you might not be familiar with that, but I'm gonna try to put more information on that in my website. But basically, it talks about people groups that are marginalized and people groups that have privilege. So those that are the oppressors and those that are the oppressed. And the marginalized people would be minorities, people of color, the privileged or the superior ones of power would be white men, Christians, and heterosexuals. So anybody, and cisgender. Cisgender means identifying as biologically male or female. Okay, so if you're not, if you're not biologically male or female, you're identifying as something else, then you're considered oppressed, such as transgender or genderqueer or non-binary. Okay.
This group that you mentioned, this is a Muslim organization?
Muslim, and is what they're doing through Advocates for Youth, as it says in their name, is they are teaching kids to be political activists for their cause. So their cause might be to create laws and policies. They're teaching them how to create laws and policies to promote things that will help LGBTQ, or it could, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
You tell me, I'll start going through these and you tell me where you want me specifically to stop.
Okay.
And then you can go. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just,
ones that you're seeing, like the last one that you just saw, How Do I Know That I'm Queer? That is produced through Advocates for Youth. So that's the one that's endorsed by the California Department of Education. It's in our health framework. It's endorsed 6 times in our health framework to teachers and to students. Okay, so that's part of their that's part of the curriculum that they endorse. Okay, this here isn't in the curriculum. What this is a picture from the student Instagram that's put out by Advocates for Youth. It's kind of a platform that they've created so that kids can connect with one another and feel supported by one another. But it's through the education department.
Now, if you're like most people now doing schooling online, and you know you have the K curriculum, is it, you know which one I'm talking about?
The K curriculum?
Yeah, it is called, and this is where most, it's called K-12.
Oh.
You know, the K-12.
Okay.
So this is like public schooling online. Do they have such things like that on something like a K-12 that many parents use?
Oh, yes.
Do you know?
I will show you. I have in these slides that I'm showing you, these are for teenagers here, but middle school and high school. But this, for instance, right here, the queer affirming, this is a coloring sheet for elementary grades. And
yes,
this is through Black Lives Matter curriculum that's being pushed into our schools through the teachers union. And one of the coloring sheets says, now remember, queer, they've changed the definition of queer. It doesn't just mean gay and lesbian or even bisexual. It means all encompassing identities. So, and those keep increasing. Okay, it's open-ended. So it says everybody has the right to choose who they love and the kind of family they want by listening to their own heart and mind. You're going to see this repeated over and over, listening to their own heart and mind.
Now I noticed they have it here in Arabic.
Yes,
also.
Yes.
Why is that?
I find that interesting because they have this ethnic studies right now in the state of California. We are having a community input process where they're asking people in the state to give input before the State Board of Education votes on this new curriculum. Well, in the curriculum that I've read, again, they are putting race and skin color under the umbrella of LGBTQ++. So what I did, Eddie, is I asked the California Department of Ed to please provide it in other languages such as Spanish and Arabic, so that all of our immigrant parents can participate in the community input process, including Asian languages. And they said, we're sorry, but we only have it in English. So basically, here they are trying to say they celebrate diversity when they excluded and discriminated anybody who didn't speak English from the process. And I find that very hypocritical.
Interesting.
It's just unbelievable to me. But what I find interesting is I said, okay, so you won't tell parents in their mother tongue, our immigrant parents, but yet you'll tell their children in their mother tongue. You have it in Arabic and in Spanish for children, but you don't have it for the parents. Don't you find that interesting? Mm-hmm. It's deceptive, yeah. It's insidious, and it's a betrayal of parent trust.
I couldn't find better words to describe that. Wow, you are very brave for calling this out.
Well, they know that kids are moldable and impressionable, but they know that parents will buck against this. So they're going behind the parents' backs, teaching children things that they know their parents won't agree with. And then they're teaching kids how to advocate for these things. Mm-hmm. And pass laws that that remove parent rights.
Wow.
Okay, so here's another coloring sheet. Again, this is for elementary grades through the Black Lives Matter curriculum. And it says here that...
Now, before you go, you mentioned coloring sheets.
Yeah.
So this is, kids that color are usually around the age of what?
This is elementary grades. This is second, third, fourth grade.
So we're talking about what number are we at? Five, six, seven, four, five?
Seven, eight, nine.
Yeah. Wow, these very young minds that are just now at their ripe age, and they're coloring this stuff in.
Yeah, and they know when they color it, that's a lot of,
It's getting focus. Ingrained, yeah. It's
a lot of intentional focus. So this one, here it is in Arabic, but in English it says everybody has the right to choose. Look at how they're using the word choose, to choose their own gender by listening to their own heart and mind. Everyone gets to choose if they are a girl or a boy or both or neither or something else, and no one else gets to choose for them. So now they're telling them gender is a choice of many choices, and only your heart and mind can tell you what that is. So it's not the Quran that's going to tell you, it's not your parents. It's not your biological DNA. It's not, the Bible or your religion. It's only whatever your mind is telling you after we confuse you with these many choices through the curriculum.
The way we look at it, it's quite simple. You have creation, then you have a creator. The one who created creation is the one who lays the blueprint. He tells us how and what and everything we need to know in this life, and doesn't leave this also for guesswork. So... the one who created us tells us he chooses for us. Well, so now it's like you become the deity of yourself. So it's making you into a god.
You hit the nail on the head. That is exactly what it is. You are becoming a god as unto yourself. Because if there's one thing that we don't choose for ourselves, it's our gender. It's our sex. You're either an XY or an XX as far as the chromosomes. And they're trying to tell kids that this gender choices is based in science, when that's not the case. In fact, in reading through the preschool, they want to have universal preschool now, and Newsom is trying to pass that, Governor Newsom. And I read through the glossary for this national preschool standards, and it said under gender that gender, according to science, was fluid and expansive. And then with the National Sex Ed Standards, because I'm saying, how can they say this is science? It's not even common sense to say these things. But they literally changed the definition of fact in the National Sex Ed Standards. And it's how they do this is they use the word or. So it's very tricky. But they'll say, so the new word for fact means that it's empirical data based on research, or... it's an opinion or hypothesis based on most experts' opinion. Most experts. So they pretty much get to choose who those experts are.
So we have that in Arabic again, and then we come down to this this video.
Okay, we showed this video at the last show, last so one. I wasn't going to show it again. I figured they could go on my website and watch it under curriculum.
What's the website again? What's the website again now that you set up?
My website, and it's actually the last slide on the Google slide show that I sent.
Okay.
It's Brenda for Kids, the number four. Brenda for Kids.
We'll have that up. Okay, so now you come to this term now that is usually used by some of the people who've been victims of the hate machine, so they throw this out. How is this now incorporated, this term radical Islam? For anybody who knows, who studies Islam, means to acquire peace by submitting yourself entirely to the owner of peace, the creator of the heavens and earth, to submit your will to God's will. So this Islam cannot be radical. So why are they using this?
They're using it just like Black Lives Matter. They want to incorporate LGBT with the Black Lives Matter movement, so that you're fighting for your rights and your identity, your authentic self. So what it says here is, Facing Race is the largest racial justice conference in America this year. And this is a conference that they had in Detroit. This particular student, Nadim, and I will be presenting our newest workshop, Radical Islam, Lessons of Muslim Liberation from Queer Muslim Youth Activists. We're so excited to share. Okay, and I think this emblem really says it all, because a lot of people...
This one with the fist?
Yes, because what it's showing is, you see this a lot. The fist, you know, meaning we're activists, we're going to fight for our rights. We're trying to... It's what they're doing is starting another civil rights movement, trying to use it under Martin Luther King Jr., but really... to me, that's just a smokescreen. They're using the race and the skin color as a smokescreen for their true goal, and that's to promote these various sexual orientations and various genders. Okay, here we go. For ethnic studies, you know, let's fight for ethnic studies in our districts and in our education. It shows a kid yelling through a microphone, education for liberation. It's all coming under the umbrella of liberty. If you could go back to that slide just for 1 second.
I like what you said. I mean, you have good slogans like justice, peace, you know, unity. So, but then what you're saying is these are just smoke screens, because you can go ahead and push the beautiful slogans, but what's actually the shot that's being given?
Exactly. And here, this is really key. It says, all we want is our stories to be taught. What they do is they teach kids how to create a testimonial, your story, because nobody can argue with experience, okay? And they know that to influence decision makers like policymakers, senators, board members, that when kids come in and tell their stories, and the more emotional, the better. It tugs on that empathy side of decision makers, to where nobody wants to hurt or harm a child, or make them feel like they're unwanted or unaccepted. And we don't, you know, of course we don't, but this is stepping into indoctrination where you're confusing kids, as far as their genders. You're confusing kids and telling them to experiment, discover, explore their sexual orientation. And how do you do that? And I've been trying to find out how exactly they're wanting to have these kids explore, because they use a lot of general terminology. But then when I go to these sites like Healthy Teen Network, that is training sex educators, it's actually telling, you know, you can go to these websites yourself, and it's endorsing pornography. It's endorsing ways that they can experiment virtually. And then it gets them hooked on these things, you know, so that they want to just go deeper and deeper and deeper into these things. And it's a black hole. I mean, it just takes them into all these rabbit holes on the web.
Wow. You said, so you're connecting it to pornography, to just pretty much just following a never ending black hole, that you fall into a black hole of chaos and confusion.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, every kid wants to feel special. I mean, the adolescence is a time where you're trying to figure out who you are. And a lot of times you're individuating. So you might be going against status quo as it is, you know, and you never think that your parents, you know, your parents don't really know what's going on. Everybody goes through that. You are becoming your own person. And so what they're doing is exploiting that time of life. And they're trying to open up this Pandora's box for them. Yeah. And they're affirming it through many different ways, through education. Education. Wow. Okay. This next one,
Okay, so that's where I mentioned K-12. So this is now, this is what I'm talking about, the K-12.
Yes.
Core content and skills.
Yes, so if you see, and please go to my website. I've written articles that will give you a summary, and I give the page numbers and I give the document. So you can see the documents for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. This is put out by Advocates for Youth, by CCIS, which is Sex Information, through the United States. It is a private organization. But it's like I said again, this is using gender and sexual orientation as above and beyond. It is saying it's ever expansive, ever changing, ever evolving. And it is equating it with ethnicity and race.
So this is core content skills in the K-12 curriculum. Is this where is an elective course or is this something that you have to take?
So what they do is integrate. Now in the state of California, we endorse this document. Not all state education departments do.
So every, but in California, it's different. Depends what state.
Yeah.
Okay,
state
so
state,
it depends where you're at.
State by state.
I see. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this is polyamory. It is non-monogamous relationships that's now being endorsed in the state of California starting in 7th grade. And this was in our health framework. It's a sexual orientation that they're saying, you know, should be respected and included in. Yeah.
Hmm.
Polyamory. Okay, I wanted to look at, take a...
So that would be, this is taught in 7th grade. So this is school starting in 7th grade, they're teaching this.
It starts as just kind of a one-liner, and I'm going to show you a video, actually. It would be good if I showed this video now about sexual mm-hmm. orientations for elementary kids. Do you have that link that I sent you?
Yes.
Okay, let's...
Yeah,
this is for elementary school.
Sexual orientation describes who you are attracted to, may fall in love with, and may have a sexual relationship with. Everyone has a sexual orientation, and there are different words to describe different sexual orientations. Many people are familiar with terms like heterosexual, gay, lesbian, and bisexual. But those aren't the only sexual orientations out there. For example, some people identify as pansexual, which means they are attracted to people of all genders. Many pansexual people feel that gender has little to do with their attractions. In other words, they are attracted to a person, not to that person's gender. Some people are asexual, sometimes called ace.
So you see how they are using... lots of different sexual orientations. It's way beyond just gay and lesbian and bisexual. It covers a lot of different types of sexualities. It's interesting in the elementary cartoons through amaze.org, how they use salads a lot and vegetables, because of course you kids associate salads and vegetables with healthy. I had a friend of mine who's much more younger than me, and told me, do you know what tossed salad is as far as the slang? And I said, no. They said, well, why don't you look it up in the Urban Dictionary? And I did, and I was quite shocked at what I found. I'm not going to even say what it means, but if you want to know what it means in younger generations, look it up for yourself under Urban Dictionary, tossed salad, and you'll find out why they're using salads a lot in their illustrations.
Wow. They actually have it defined there in the dictionary, this, what?
Toss salad? Not in the Webster Dictionary, but in the Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary is kind of like what things mean in slang.
Street-wise. Yeah.
So I had to kind of get up to speed on some of those street-wise.
So now in the cartoons... they're actually showing this tossed salad and now connecting everything together.
Yes, because what toss salad, it's a term that means rimming, and I'm not going to go into what that means, but it is a sexual act that they have in our sex education curriculum. They include it.
Yes.
So the national, let's see, where are we here? Why don't you go back to, let's see, the trans, there you go, that one. So when I'm talking about genders, like I said, it's not just trans. So they're, in the National Sex Ed Standards, they actually even changed the definition of sexual to mean an umbrella term encompassing all non-conforming genders. So when you see the word non-binary, non-binary means you can be both gender, neither gender, something in between, gender queer, gender fluid, all these different types of genders. And transgender is actually binary, because binary means either male or female. Non-binary means it's something other than male or female. Okay. So it gets really confusing for parents. But under the LGBTQ, when they're teaching this, Q means queer or questioning. You see that word questioning under the little guy with the question. So the way I see this is, here they're giving them all these different genders, and I think just totally creating confusion. I mean, it's confusing to me as an adult. I can only imagine as a child how confusing this is. And then they show them, this is what they do with these cartoons. First, they tell them, okay, we're going to prepare you for puberty. So maybe you're in third or fourth grade, and we're preparing you for what's going to be happening to your body, these changes that are going to come about. And I don't have the puberty video up here, but it is on my website. And it kind of scares them, like, oh, of course, puberty is kind of scary. Your body's changing. You get pimples. You know, it's an awkward stage of life. So what kid isn't going to think that, oh, well, I'm not really sure yet what my gender is, and puberty sounds horrifying. So they tell kids, well, if you're not sure what your gender is, don't worry. You can go on puberty blockers to give yourself more time to decide. So it stops puberty, it stalls it, so that you can have more time to decide.
We touched upon that last time, and this is actually beyond deception. This is a lie, because anytime you interfere with the natural process here, it's not just like you can just turn off a switch and then just turn it back on. I mean, the creation, the process has been made in a certain way, and not just from the interrupting, you know, from the physical, biological sense, all these things. You have so many, it's a health disaster just waiting to happen when you're just interfering in the natural process.
Yeah, in that book, that it's on my website under resources, called Irreparable Damage. And Abigail Schreier, she did a fantastic job. She works with Walt. I forget which one. Anyways, she's a journalist and a lawyer, but she has quotes from a lot of psychologists, from medical professionals, many that are saying, no, this is not good. And many testimonials from kids that have gone through this process that are experiencing huge regrets, who are permanently sterilized, who have maybe had double mastectomies. Specifically, she's focusing on adolescent and young adult girls. And in her book, she talks about how once they go on puberty blockers, I didn't know this until I read the book, that 100% of them go towards hormone therapy, which in time, and it doesn't take that much time, does sterilize.
Wow. So moving on to this, where it says spiritual abuse now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, though, if you'd be willing to show the video on puberty blockers, the cartoon that they're showing kids.
What gender are you? A person who is transgender is someone whose internal sense of their gender, being a boy, girl, or something else, doesn't match their physical body. People who feel this way sometimes feel anxious when they begin to reach puberty and their body starts to change in ways that don't match their internal sense of their gender. These feelings are totally normal. If you feel you want more time to explore how you feel about your gender before your body starts to change, it's important to talk with a parent, counselor, therapist, or doctor about the feelings you have regarding your gender. After some discussion and counseling, you may be referred to an endocrinologist. Endocrinologists specialize in hormones, and they're the most likely to prescribe puberty blockers for someone who wants them. Puberty blockers are medications that will stop your body from changing. They are usually given as an injection or an implant. They block the production of hormones to stop or delay the physical changes of puberty. The effects of the medication are only temporary, so if a person stops using puberty blockers, the physical changes of puberty will begin again. Whether you identify as male, female, genderqueer, or something else, you're perfectly normal. And there are lots of ways to manage puberty so that it can be a fun, exciting time rather than a scary or stressful one. Okay, maybe you need more time to get to know yourself.
This is what they're teaching them to do, to teach them that for the sake of equity, we need to pass laws that cover the insurance costs for puberty blockers, hormone therapy, double mastectomies, any kind of surgeries that can mutilate your body to make you the person that you believe that you are, so that you can have a happy life. So what in California, just about a month ago, our insurance commissioner under Governor Newsom just passed a policy saying that double mastectomies will now be covered by insurance companies starting at age 16 for girls. Hmm. And I just think it's horrific. It's unbelievable. I cried when I read that. I cried because, you know, I think about so many young girls who, I was a tomboy myself, you know, as a young child. I liked to play with traps and pirates. And, you know, and if I would have heard some of these things as a child, I would have definitely thought, I must be a boy, you know, because of the things that I like. But, you know, when I went through puberty, I just grew out of it, and my parents didn't make it a big deal. I just think kids need to be kids. You know, we need to just let them be kids and grow up and not confuse them with all of this. It's child abuse.
How do you, in the last 10 minutes that we have, I want to get through these slides and ask you a couple more questions. One I want to know is how do you, I mean, this is just so apparently clear when you look at it, you know, someone who as a Christian, someone who's Muslim, somebody who's a person of God, of the Creator, someone who wants to live a morally upright life, you know, has that purpose in life, direction in life. I mean, these things are, you know, just even just for a human being in general, someone who just uses common sense, right? So it's just apparently clear. But how does it become so not apparently clear for others? Like that, when you're in the education system, do you sit and talk with other teachers and they're just like, you know, scratching their head or because it seems like you're going against a lot of, against a lot equals a lot of people who are not getting it.
Well, I really think they're keeping adults and parents in the dark about this. They're bringing it in through a lot of virtual means. Now, teachers, a lot of teachers don't agree with this. And some are unaware of it. It just depends on what school district you're in as far as how much it's getting pushed. It's becoming more aggressive. And to be honest, I mean, with Biden as our president, his wife, Jill Biden, is an NEA, which is the National Educators Association, the teachers union nationally. She is a member because she's a professor, a college professor. So I have been on statewide conference calls with her, and they fully endorse this. I mean, not to get super political here, but you know, the reason Trump was for school choice, so was Betsy DeVos. That's why the teachers union hated them, because he wanted to give parents the choice of what kind of education they have, but the teachers union does not. They want all kids to be only in public schools for the sake of indoctrination.
So they want all kids to be in schools, and that would exclude and not permit homeschooling?
Well, school choice, such as we're going to go for this in the state of California. I'm working with some agencies right now to put school choice on the ballot, which would, there's about $9,000 per student per year that's allocated through tax, federal funding, state funding. And those dollars follow the child into the public schools. That's why attendance is a big deal, because that's where they get their funding. But school choice says that parents get to take that money because they're taxed, and they get to let that money follow the child to the school of their choice, whether it be a private school, a charter school, homeschool. They get to let those tax dollars follow the child to the school they want.
I see.
But the teachers union doesn't want that. They say, no, public schools only. And they're saying for the sake of equity. But I don't think it's equity at all. Not when
that's
they're,
where we're talking
not
about.
Not when they're indoctrinated. It's not a,
that's where the, like you said, the indoctrination starts to happen.
Yeah, because there's the monopolization of power.
Yeah. So moving on here to these next few slides.
Okay. Yeah, spiritual abuse, basically what they're saying, they passed this term in our health framework, and they're trying to say that if your religion justifies not accepting all these different genders and sexual orientations, then you're using religion as a means of discrimination, harassment, and harm. And that includes not using non-binary pronouns like they, Z, here, tree, and all those pronouns that I went over last time. Okay, but I wrote an article. Well, there's an article in my Brenda for Kids website that talks about how mindfulness. So one of the, they're using mindfulness now as a way of meditation, but you see mindfulness by them saying, this gets you in touch with your authentic self. Who are you? And then you've got all these gender teachings and sexual orientation teachings on top of this. Do you see how this could become spiritual abuse in the classroom? Because they're opening their kids' minds to experiment, explore after they've put in their minds all these different doctrines of genders. And so one of the... okay, this here is, I just wanted to show you, you know, it's coming in so many different directions, this Disney movie Onward. So if you look at
this. Is this a new, this is coming out? This
no,
Disney?
This came out already through Disney, but I don't think parents are always aware how these things are being taught, kind of coming in through the back door. So this little character, the fairy, this is a non-binary character because what they did is they took the extreme female and male traits, like male meaning it was a kind of like a Hell's Angel motorcycle rider. And then you've got the pink skin with the fairy tutus, okay, like the ballerina tutu. So you've got an extreme feminine traits with extreme masculine traits being brought together into one character. So you could call this a non-binary character where this character is both genders.
Wow, so stay away from Disney.
Well, I'm just saying Disney is definitely using these things to bring it into
and
kids'
this is,
minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is nothing new with Disney. I mean, you've seen, this is nothing new, but I would advise definitely for parents to, I mean, just stay away from Disney.
And what we need to do as parents is we need to talk to our kids about these things. Reaffirm them, lay that foundation of what, you know, kids really understand what gender is according to biology and according to your faith, you know, as our creator.
Absolutely.
Go back for a second. The lion. So we know.
Where's the lion? Which
the
one?
Next to the fairy. Right there. On.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So the lion, this character in Disney, you know that lions, male lions, have the manes, right?
Yeah.
Well, so we've got here, this is actually a transgender character because you've got a male lion with the mane, but yet it's a woman character if you watch the movie. So this is shows an example of transgender, but in the animal form.
Yeah, this is awesome that you're able to decode this stuff, and most people it just goes over their head. They don't get it. It just seems like innocent, you know, little cartoons and, hey, have a good time, sit there, I got some work to do, just enjoy yourself in front of this Disney cartoon. But now what's happening is these messages, the indoctrination is happening through these cartoons to the kids. Yeah, it's very scary.
Yeah, as an educator, I know that when they teach teachers how to teach, they say, how to teach a new concept to a child is you have to take something from their prior learning and make the connection. So what Disney is doing is they are putting into children's minds these prior learning so that when these new concepts get taught, they'll say, oh, oh, now I understand. Yeah, from that movie onward, now it makes sense.
Mm.
Here's another example from Toy Story. You see this spork, okay? A spork is, it's a spoon and a fork together. And this can be associated with both genders. So you're not just male, you're male and female. You're non-binary. Just like a spork is a fork and a spoon together. So that's, again, taking a prior learning. If you go back again for a second, this here is from Frozen. And in the movie Let It Go, it has the in the bridge, it says, there's no right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. This is very strategic because what they're doing is they're saying liberty and freedom has to do with no morality. It's taking away all boundaries of sexuality, all boundaries of gender, all the rules are gone, and that's the true definition of liberty and freedom.
You know, it's very dangerous. I just imagine if you took all the rules that we live by from day to day. I mean, we follow rules to have a civil society. I mean, traffic lights, stop signs. I mean, you have just from basic, from small to big, you have rules. Otherwise, if it's rule less, I mean, what do we have? So the same thing. The Creator sent rules for us to fire, to protect us from certain harms and to put us on a direction that's going to help to benefit our lives. So here it's just kind of like the doest thy will culture. You know, they have this slogan out there by some of these like Jay-Z and all these. It's called the do as thy will. Aleister Crowley, have you heard of him?
Vaguely.
Aleister Crowley. This is a lot of these people follow his book and his teachings. He has this pretty much this philosophy. So this is just nothing new. It's just basically follow your whims and desires and do whatever you want. And it doesn't matter if you end up falling off the bridge while doing that, you know?
Right. Whatever your feelings and pleasures, whatever brings you pleasure and happiness, go for it.
Yeah. So that's what you said earlier. I mean, that's just an open door to the next letter that's going to come into the alphabet movement is the pedophilia.
Because isn't it interesting that they are leaving it open-ended? They're literally wanting us to give it. To me, it's like giving a signed blank check to the state. And you know, because they're just saying, oh, we're just going to make this open-ended. But I said, well, why aren't you explicitly stating that pedophilia cannot be in that alphabet? But they're not doing it. They're not doing it. There's a reason.
So this, to the right here, this is from another cartoon. Is this an older, newer cartoon?
Oh, this one to the right, that is actually Frozen. It's from the song Let It Go.
So it's from a song. Yeah, last time you gave us the inside scoop of that toy called, it was pretty popular.
Poopsie. You have to look at a lot of these toys. I went into Target, the LOL dolls. If you look at the boy dolls, their names are Spice and Sugar. Do you find that strange?
Mm-hmm.
The LOL boy dolls are called Spice and Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very odd. So this next one here, I want to show you the next slide. I just want to tell parents to be careful with student surveys. You can opt your kids out of student surveys because the student surveys are asking kids about what gender they are, what sexual orientation they are, and they're very invasive about asking you questions about your family. And you can, from early on, just opt them out. You can opt them out of sex education as far as it gets tricky on that. But, you know, I would just encourage e-moms to come together, and I really believe that we need to come together as interfaith communities for the sake of our children and have alternatives in education, whether it be school choice or learning pods, where there's like homeschool or decreasing the price of our private schools and increasing our enrollment in our private schools. I don't know, but we need some creative solutions. Don't know all the answers, but we are in a crisis situation and our kids are under assault, and we need some alternatives.
Now, from the last program that we did, we actually invited many of the community leaders, imams, sheikhs, to reach out to you, and some actually did. How was that experience? And was there a bridge that was built and some collaboration that's you guys been working on to make some of these ideas a reality?
Well, we still have a ways to go. I am working with different groups, and I'm hoping to increase that as far as, you know, honestly, this whole thing that's been going on in our country that's literally dividing us, it's strategically dividing us. And I think we need to do just the opposite. We need to instead come together as different races, different language groups, different faiths for the love of our children, and unite. Where they want to isolate and divide, we need to choose to unite and, you know, see our things that we have in common, which is to protect our kids, to protect that very sacred parent-child relationship, protect our families, protect religious freedoms, and our values.
Thank you so much for sharing all this with us. People can go to Brenda for Kids.
Please do.
Brenda for
Please
Kids.
Please do. And you can contact me by, there is a web, there's an email. You can contact me that way, Lebsack for Kids. And I encourage you to do so. I still do have Facebook, though. I'm not sure with the censorship how long that's going to be going on with it. There's been a lot of censorship. So some of the things I've put up have been taken down. But I'll still use it as much as I can to reach out to people and connect through messaging.
God bless you. Thank you so much. And if you like this episode of the Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe right now.